Welcome to the Ozaukee Family Wellness Podcast, a guide to finding wellness resources in Ozaukee County. Your host, Dr. Camille Berger, will interview a local business or care provider each week to provide you with resources, information, and connections for your family's wellness. As a family chiropractor in Cedarburg, Dr. Berger wants to empower you to take charge of your family's health and wellness. Of course, she would love to hear what you want to learn about and who you want to hear from. To submit a request, head over to ozaukeefamilywellness.org and hit the contact button to send an email. Or leave us a review and let us know what you think. We can't wait to hear from you. So stay tuned, hit subscribe, sit back, and enjoy.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Camille, and I have with me my wonderful husband, Matt.
Hello.
And today we're going to dive deeper into nutrition. So our last podcast we did together, we talked about some fundamentals of wellness within our family, and we wanted to cover nutrition a little bit deeper because there are so many things we can talk about. So first, I just want to cover that Matt and I grew up in families that had a different view around nutrition, and we had different diets, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say that we both grew up in families that sat down at the dinner table and ate together, and that is such an incredible habit to have to grow up in, and that's something that we strive to do in our family now. How would you say that impacted you, Matt?
Just having that one time together each day where we knew we would be sitting down was a great thing to have just structurally. It definitely has made it easier for me as a parent myself that is important. It's a unique situation for children with their parents because they don't always get that time to talk.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. It helped me feel more connected to my parents and my brother that we sat down and ate together. Otherwise, I don't know that we would have all been in the same room together with no distractions. And we grew up in a time where there were not cell phones. So that's a new added change for families now, especially those with teenagers. But I wanted to talk about the types of meals that I grew up with. I remember coming home from school as a teenager and fixing myself snacks, and I think just as teenagers, my brother and I were growing so fast that my mom just always had pizza rolls. And because it was the only thing that, like, we would cook ourselves and eat. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. She worked at home, and then as we got older, she worked outside of the home. But she would be gone for about an hour when we got home when we were teenagers, and we would make ourselves snacks because we were always so hungry after school. But we always packed a healthy lunch. I remember taking salads, you know, with grilled chicken or something on it for lunch. And I remember cafeteria food being like a pretzel and cheese, which is like now, like, I wouldn't be able to stomach it at all. But that's what I remember my friends eating. And then for dinner, my mom would make a home-cooked meal, or it would be your choice of leftovers of a home-cooked meal. We didn't eat out frequently. We didn't do takeout pizza frequently. We frequently had salads as our vegetable. So, yeah, I don't know. To me, that was a norm. So, obviously, the pizza rolls are probably the least of the, as bad as it can get, I guess. But, you know, as now looking back at it as a parent, I know that my mom was just trying to ease the burden for everyone. So
no kidding. Our 5-year-old, you can't fill that guy's stomach. So
I know.
I get it. Quick, easy food options.
Yes, we often joke that Jonah's going to have to start working when he's 10 to pay for his food, so.
It's not a joke.
All right, Matt, tell us about how your family meals were growing up.
Well, majority of my childhood, both of my parents worked full-time, teachers, and so we would go to school, we would do our extracurricular activities, we would get home, and we would need a quick dinner, and to what I remember, a lot of the times it was easy meals that, you know, a common one was chicken and rice, and like, you know, the recipe where there's condensed cream of mushroom soup or something like that, and then a vegetable, which, you know, has your protein and veggies. We would grill fairly frequently on weekends when we were able. I would make my lunches for school a lot, and you know, I'd have a sandwich and like a snack pack pudding or something, or yogurt. And
can I tell you a funny story about snack packs?
Yeah.
So I think this will give you some insight to my upbringing, but I didn't know what a snack pack was until I was in high school. And this is because in high school, I worked at a YMCA summer camp, and one of the songs was about, like, stealing someone's snack pack, and I had to ask someone what a snack pack was. So,
oh boy.
Also, I didn't have a particular common type of fast food hamburger until I was 16 and drove to the place with golden arches and bought one and ate it. And then 10 minutes later, it left my stomach. So I think that that's maybe not the norm to have not had those things until I could physically drive myself to go get them. Especially because I remember when Matt and I were dating in high school, and his sister was visiting from Seattle, and she made like vegan pizza or something. Like, it, you know, it was a little out there for me even. Mm-hmm. So, and I remember Matt's dad giving him either like vouchers or money to go to the place with golden arches so that he would not be hungry. Do you remember this?
I do not, but I believe it.
It stuck out to me because it was such an interesting situation in my mind, because it's just not what I knew. And I think it's very telling that we do oftentimes, as married individuals, grow up in a home that is so different from our spouse, and it can be very difficult to find where our own now new nuclear family normal and nutritional guidelines, diet habits sit. So that being said, let's move into what we do now, because we don't really eat either of those ways now, and it's definitely evolved over time.
Yeah.
So one of the first things I would say we tried to do was eliminating processed foods, and I'm going to pair that right away with adding in whole foods, because as soon as you take something away, especially as a doctor, I try so hard to give you something to add, because you just can't take things away without replacing them. So let's think of the example of cheese-flavored processed crackers, whatever your variety of choice may be. These are an easy and expensive snack to have on hand. They keep in a hot car for kids. They keep in the cupboard, and kids can get it themselves. And I like to say the only upside of them is they make you thirsty, so hopefully you drink some water. Generally speaking, these aren't healthy choices because the wheat, gluten, preservative, and cheese, and usually dye combination breaks down the gut. So that's our digestion, that's how we absorb food, and we start to actually kill good microbiota, the good bugs in our gut, and it gives us something called leaky gut, which I feel like a lot of people have heard of now. But essentially what that is that the barrier, the junctions in the intestines are not as strong as they should be. So the things that should be excreted as waste get into our bloodstream. So it's not good. We see a lot of issues with that, and I'm not going to go down that whole rabbit hole, but just pointing out that these processed foods with these ingredients of preservatives, processed wheat, processed cheese, and food colorings are, generally speaking, not good for our health. There's no nutrition in them. So we get empty calories, and think about a bag of potato chips. When you're eating a bag of potato chips, you could probably sit down and eat the whole bag. And
absolutely.
It looks like a lot of food, but you could eat that whole bag and still feel hungry.
And a tub of sour cream.
Mm. Yep. And if you're like me right now, that probably actually sounds really good because it's eliciting a chemical reaction in my brain to want that chemical response. That is an addiction. This could be very difficult to eliminate from your diet. And honestly, the only thing that's worked for me is cold turkey. I can't buy it. I can't even buy it to have occasionally. It creates further cravings, and I'll just want to keep buying it. Right, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely have stores that I do my best to avoid because of some of the bad addictive habits that I have had over the years relating to food. The more I stay away from it, the easier it is. But kind of getting back to what Camille was saying about replacing things. If you're eliminating something from your daily habits, it's a lot easier to replace it than to just completely eliminate it. So is there advice or encouragement you have that you want to talk about with that, Camille?
Yeah, so we definitely should talk about replacement items, shouldn't we? So things we do in our house. My first bit of advice and encouragement with this is what works for us. Yeah. You might find a particular substitute better for you and your family. So try some things out, and if they don't work, just move on to the next. It's okay. So we like to buy in bulk at big bulk stores. So we get baby carrots, and bonus, they're organic, which we're not going to cover organic today, but we do try whenever possible to first shop local organic and second shop organic. So we like baby carrots, and we do pair them with a ranch. Recently we did switch to I think it's avocado-based ranch. So yeah. It's dairy-free, and yes. We'll talk about that later. But mm-hmm. An avocado-based ranch that is a little better. The ingredients look better to me. It's, you do what you can do. Our kids want ranch with their vegetables. I don't complain too much when they're eating the vegetables. Yeah. But do watch and make sure they're not just only eating the ranch, I guess. So we like cherry tomatoes and
Cucumbers,
big yeah. One. So you can even buy this over the weekend and cut things up and store them in containers for your kids to help themselves, especially if they're a little bit older. We cut them up on demand. Otherwise, things end up in the garbage in our house. And that's just, you have to find what works for you. What else do we like? Emily loves broccoli, raw broccoli. She will not eat it cooked.
Same with cauliflower.
Yes.
Raw cauliflower.
They like the crunch.
Yes.
So, and that's pretty common for kids, especially if they have some sensory things going on. They will like a raw vegetable over the cooked. So what we do is we leave some of it uncooked, and she is more than welcome to choose the raw broccoli over the cooked when we eat.
Yeah.
We like it roasted as adults.
Right. Yep.
But that's not how she likes it. So it is acceptable to us in our house that she has it raw instead of cooked. Other snacks. Apples. Mm-hmm. We buy like six to 10 pounds of apples a week, you guys.
Yep. Sometimes we get a little frustrated because one will get half eaten and then left, and then the dog will get it. But I'm so thankful that they go into the refrigerator and choose that as a snack, given there aren't a ton of options that aren't healthy, but that is the first place they go. Might be that the drawer is at their height, but that's okay. I am appreciative that an apple is often the first place they go for their snack.
Yes, and that brings up the point, too, of making it accessible for your children and for yourself, that it's easy to do. An apple is easy. All you have to do is rinse it off under the sink and eat it. I was thinking, too, of the example. The other night, we had friends over, and we baked cookies, which is a treat for us. And there were some cookies left on the table, but there was also a bowl of raw cauliflower on the counter. And because it was there, Amelie walked by, and she grabbed a piece of cauliflower instead of a cookie. It still blows my mind. We were not always like this. This has been years of change in our family. But it is doable. Other ideas?
Well, our kids like oranges and clementines, and they're not the greatest at peeling them. Sometimes they get them, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'll pick at it for a while and I'll find it all over the floor. So I will often offer to peel for them, and usually once I peel one, then I'm peeling probably about six. Because they'll devour them. Clementines, they really appreciate. Let's see.
So we did recently eliminate dairy and gluten, but before we did, we had string cheese.
Yeah.
That's a super easy, healthy snack. We like nuts. The kids like cashews the best. You can find what your kids like the best. A raw, unsalted nut is the healthiest. But it's okay to ease into that if that's not something you're used to.
Oftentimes our kids, they'll like to make a mix of nuts. And we'll let them put some, you know, some craisins or some chocolate chips in there. Because we know that they will also eat the nuts most of the time. They kind of know that that's the rule in the house. You can't just eat a fistful of chocolate chips.
Mm-hmm.
So that encourages them to eat some of those healthy nuts.
And that can be a good substitute for candy-covered chocolate to have just chocolate chips, because you're eliminating that additional sugar and dye.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like you can look at everything that you have and decide if you can pick a better option. I also want to cover the idea of pairing your macronutrients. So our three macronutrients are carbs, fats, and proteins. So to make a snack that sticks well with your child, to pair the carbohydrates with a fat and protein is going to make it last a lot longer. So apple and peanut butter, celery and peanut butter, you can pair cheese. I really like apple and cheddar cheese together. You can pair nuts with your fruit. Honestly, if you're just starting out, a string cheese and a clementine.
Yeah.
And don't get the low-fat string cheese. Like, get the... Your kids do not need low-fat foods. You probably don't either. But your kids do not need low-fat foods. Fat builds our brains. And our kids are growing their brains, so we want them to have fats.
One one snack that our kids loved was, you know, whole fat Greek yogurt with berries.
Mm-hmm.
This was, they would do that on a daily basis. That was another fairly accessible, quick and easy option.
They thought it was dessert.
Yes, that was often dessert after dinner. That one's kind of been hard to replace.
Okay, so let's talk about shopping. I also mentioned that we like the big box stores where we can buy organic produce in bulk, and it brings the cost per unit down. That's really helpful. We have a few other favorite stores in the area. I'm trying not to say brand names, but or store names, but I can't get it. I can't not say that we love Aldi.
Yeah.
You can usually find high quality product at a lower price that is gluten, dairy free, and or organic. Mm-hmm. You do have to, not all their products are like that, so you still have to read. We're not going to get into that today, but just trying to give you some resources so that if you do want to make a change, you don't have to go do the hunting, because we've spent years hunting.
Yeah.
We also order produce online from an online store that is essentially rescuing produce and product that would have otherwise been discarded because it's not perfect. And there are several companies that do that now, and that gets delivered to our door. And honestly, that's my favorite part about it. This year, our busyness has increased, and being able to eliminate some of the shopping has been helpful.
Absolutely. Sorry, I thought I had more to say there. I don't.
Okay, and then we have some other online stores that we order health food from. There's several options out there. In the past, we've done the meal kits, that's what they're called, right?
Yeah.
So we liked that for essentially to shake it up a little bit, get some new recipe ideas, and we did it for a couple months. And honestly, we don't do it anymore because there's not an option to feed our family of five, especially when two of our three children eat like adults.
Yeah.
So we don't really do that anymore, but we still use the recipes, and we default to trying to buy local organic first. So we have a favorite CSA, and if you want to message me on Instagram or Facebook on our account, I will tell you which ones I like. I love the local farms. There are so many options in Ozaukee County, and maybe we'll do a separate episode of all the awesome meat, egg, and vegetable farms in the area. We're just coming into that CSA time frame. I'm excited. We try to garden a little bit as much as possible, and we try to buy organic.
So the last topic that we wanted to talk about today with nutrition is our journey towards reducing and eliminating dairy and gluten from our daily diets. It's hard, especially being in Wisconsin, and you heard us talking about a lot of the snack options that we have had in our house for our children and for ourselves. Cheese, yogurt, those are things that are, you know, were a lot of the base of the healthy fats in our quick snacks that we got. Creamer and coffee, that's another one. It's another source of dairy. Bread, that's a big change. So for myself, Camille's worked hard to try to find some replacement options. We've tried different types of cheeses that are, they're cultured, but they're nut-based cheeses, like cashew cheese. Is that accurate?
I think so. I mean, I didn't want a cheese that was just all like canola oil, I guess. So yeah.
American cheese is not cheese, it's oil, and that's really not good for you either. So finding these different options, we definitely don't eat them as much as we had eaten cheese, but I like a cold cut sandwich, so I like to have cheese on it. It goes well with my meat and the gluten-free bread that I found. Gluten-free bread, there's a lot of options out there. They are not bread as you normally consume bread. And you need to understand that going in. The characteristics that make bread soft and doughy are legitimately is the gluten in the wheat that gives it that quality. So gluten-free bread is different, but there are some good options out there that can still help you fulfill that need.
Yeah, I think for me, if I never had a cold cut sandwich for the rest of my life, like I would not even notice. That's a huge difference between Matt and I to figure out how to do this.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier with our upbringings. Like for me, cold cut sandwiches, that was an all the time source of food. That's what I made for lunch every day.
My mom used to make them and I wouldn't eat them, so it's maybe why she started sending me salads. I don't know. I just, it is not appealing to me. I don't miss it. There are specific beverages that have gluten in them that are still in our house. I don't drink them.
And our children don't either.
In fact, it's kind of funny. Since we went gluten-free, dairy-free, as an entire household, Matt did pick up the hobby of brewing beer. So that's just, you know, let's talk about why we're doing it, though. So the original reason was actually for my health. I was having some symptoms that would normally be considered subclinical, things that could just be chalked up to I am a small business owner and a mom, and my youngest still didn't sleep through the night. So I was having fatigue, and it got to be more like brain fog and that sort of thing. So I got some blood work done and found that I had thyroid antibodies, and it would be considered subclinical. So what subclinical means is that it's there, but it's not enough to be treated by conventional medicine. So I would not qualify for a diagnosis of Hashimoto's because my thyroid antibody levels were below 60. They were 55. So what might have been recommended by an MD would be to wait until your thyroid bodies are above 60 and then they treat. I chose not to do that. I sought out a naturopathic doctor and got feedback from her. I left. This was just like such a huge process because it was all information I pretty much knew. I just couldn't doctor myself anymore. So the biggest recommendation that she made was to go gluten-free because gluten looks like thyroid protein, and the body gets sensitized to it, creates antibodies which bind the gluten and the thyroid. So gluten stimulates thyroid antibody production. I can't eliminate my thyroid, so I eliminated the gluten. out of my diet. 95% of the time. And over the course of 9 months, my thyroid antibodies have decreased by half, which is awesome. And symptoms are resolving, and I'm feeling a lot better. And when I have gluten, I have symptoms that I didn't realize could go away. I didn't notice they went away, but when I have gluten, I feel them again. And I'm not going to talk about my symptoms because they're different for everybody, and we're not going to talk about that today. So, I've been gluten-free for quite a while, and we've been gluten knowledgeable in our house. I don't know, like, it was, like, not really there, but we didn't cut it out for about a year to...
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, we're still not 100%, but we are still getting there, and we're working towards it. And we're at a point, too, where our children are getting older. We don't always have 100% authority over everything they eat. And we've had some challenging conversations with our children about it because they really like cheese. Hmm. They really like macaroni and cheese. And to an 8-year-old, the conversation is different than it is to a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. The 3-year-old doesn't really notice. The 5-year-old sees that we took away one of his favorite things and he doesn't quite understand why.
We recently eliminated dairy from our house. So I think this is a good way to describe how we handle gluten and dairy. It's not in our house. And if we go out to eat, we order something that is going to have minimal amounts of it. If we go over to someone's house and it is what they are serving, we eat it. And that's probably a very Midwestern politeness thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
but that leads to it's still in our diet here and there. So we know we could get more benefit from completely eliminating it. But we're not there yet, and that's all okay because it is a journey. But I wanted to talk about the dairy a little bit. Right. Okay. So with the dairy, we did this recently because our 5-year-old has had bedtime accidents for a little over a year, and he wasn't having them.
Right.
Which that's a really weird progression, but the accidents started with other stressors mm-hmm. in our lives and in the world. So it correlated with us moving and with the pandemic, because we moved literally weeks before the world shut down. So he had a lot of stress, and we have done a lot of things and it has not resolved. So we decided to eliminate dairy because it is a bladder irritant. And if you're sensitive to it, it's another one of those things that the symptoms always, they just show up different for different people. And that is one of the symptoms of being dairy sensitive. Oddly enough, I just want to bring up, like, when kids are sensitive to a food, like dairy, they want it. Like, they have a dopamine response in their brain. It feels good for them to eat it. So, like, Amelie cries. Amelie has cried about not having cheese.
She has.
But we've also seen positive results from her not eating dairy as frequently. Her allergies are less, and her... Like her throat clearing has pretty much gone away.
Yeah. Yeah. There are things that we notice that she might not necessarily notice because she's 8 and it was just, that was part of life for her. it's challenging, but we've learned that we need to have the conversation with her every once in a while just to reassure her and let her know why we have eliminated those things from our diet. And sometimes I think she just gets frustrated with the things we try to replace it with. And maybe we shouldn't even attempt to replace certain things. But for the other two, they appreciate the replacements most of the time. But she just gets frustrated because she'll be like, I miss real mac and cheese. And by real mac and cheese, she means, you know, like it's in a box and it has a powdered cheese sauce.
Just real cheese. The nut cheese doesn't really melt right.
No,
it's just, it is a hard food to replace.
Yep.
Well, at this moment, I don't know that we have much more to say about that. We can revisit gluten-free, dairy-free in the future. We can talk about other aspects of nutrition in another episode as well, because this one's getting long and I didn't get to hit all my bullet points. So we will have to revisit. I will invite you, if you have a good cheese replacement, to send me a message. I would greatly appreciate it. If you want any other further resources as far as how to find a CSA farm, how to find some of those options of getting organic produce delivered to your door, you're welcome to send me a DM and I can point you in the right direction. I would also like to invite you today to leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening to us. It's going to help us reach more people in Ozaukee County. And also feel free to send it to a friend who you think would be interested in the topics we cover.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We enjoyed sharing this conversation with you. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you in the future.
Thank you for listening to the Ozaukee Family Wellness Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. Watch for future episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts. If there is someone that you would like to hear on the podcast, please visit ozaukeefamilywellness.org to contact us. There is also a link in the episode description. This podcast has been produced and edited by Easy Street Media. I'm a liability.